reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. As Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. Suddenly a violent storm came up on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by waves. But he was asleep. They came and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you terrified, O you of little faith?" Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. The men were amazed and said, "What sort of man is this, whom even the wind and the seas obey?" The Gospel of the Lord. Fathers of the Church, a little bit after St. Irenaeus, whom we celebrate today, when they were commenting on this passage from the book of Genesis about the fleeing of Lot, his wife, and his two daughters from Sodom and Gomorrah, look at it as a metaphor, an allegory, for how we're supposed to run away from situations of sin. That when we recognize there's a situation of sin, and Sodom and Gomorrah was clearly a very, very sinful place, we need to heed the work of the angels, our guardian angels and others, and literally get the hell out of there. Why do we have this image of Lot's wife being turned into a pillar of salt, whatever that means, being burned basically down to her constitutive element? She was leaving the city, but she was turning back with affection. She was kind of going, leaving it on the outside, but in the inside, her heart was still there. It's a powerful example of the way we perish when we continue to have affection for our sins in that way. In the Gospel today, the early fathers of the Church, including Irenaeus, looked at this scene of the violent storm on the sea with Jesus asleep at the helm of the boat as an image of the Church throughout time. The boat is always an image of Peter's bark. Jesus is in the boat, but sometimes he doesn't seem to be awake. At a very physical level, you can see how tired Jesus must have been from his public ministry, that in the midst of a violent storm, he would be able to sleep. The image that I use is, you're on a plane under ferocious turbulence, going up and down, and yet he's so exhausted that not even that wakes him. But the fathers of the Church looked at it from a spiritual perspective, that a lot of the times Jesus allows the Church to be shaken by the waves, to even to let a little bit of the water into the boat. He seems to be asleep. But the reason why he does that is precisely to increase our faith in him. His first words when they said, "Lord, save us, we are perishing," he turned to them and said, "Why are you terrified, O you of little faith?" Now what this doesn't mean necessarily is that no matter what storm we're in, all we've got to do is wake up Jesus and then he'll make the storm go away. That's not the way they interpreted it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be celebrating the feast of a martyr today when he cried out to the Lord. But in fact, what it means is that we know that those circumstances, those extrinsic stuff, can't really hurt us forever, provided that we remain with Jesus in that boat, the Church. That we have to have faith that everything works out for the good for those who love God. We have to have faith that, as Jesus promised in the Beatitudes, that we rejoice in the time of persecution, because so they did to the prophet, so they did to him, and our reward in heaven will be great. That's what he means. Saint Irenaeus, the saint we celebrate today, gives us an interesting life experience based on both of these readings. He was one who lived in the second century. And there were tremendous problems for the church, not to mention ferocious persecutions that began the century and that ended the century and that hit many right in the middle of the century under the so-called peaceful Marcus Aurelius. But it was also a time of great dissension and confusion in the church. Lots of controversies, first coming from heresies like Gnosticism, which didn't even believe Jesus had a real body. Therefore, the crucifixion was just a little bit of a hologram. We can't have the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, because Jesus didn't have a body to give us. They thought that there was a secret knowledge to get into heaven, secret knowledge that you had to enter their club in order to join that wasn't even passed down through the apostle. So there were great storms that he was facing. But he earned his name Irenaeus, which comes from the Greek word Irene, which means peace. He earned that name precisely by how he always remained steady despite all those controversies. And he was a great peacemaker, trying not to blow things out of proportion. When there were controversies over the date of Easter, he intervened even with the Pope in order to be able to bring people together. He tried to stop warring factions. But at the same time, too, he helped the church to try to leave the spiritual Sodoms and Gomorrahs of the time with the great heresies. He wrote a 5-volume work against the heresies of the day, trying peacefully but firmly to get those who were attracted to lies and falsities to leave that behind permanently. He was given credit for evangelizing all of France by bringing almost all the French into harmony with the church, and his writings began to affect other countries. Second thing we see in his life is how he said that we are to live. Probably the most famous saying of any theologian in the history of the church comes from St. Irenaeus, talking about why we're alive. He said, Gloria Dei vivens homo, et visio Dei vita homines. That man is alive in order to glorify God. And the way he glorifies God is by becoming fully alive in Christ. And this life of man is when he sees God. When he sees God in every situation, when he sees God in the difficulties, when he sees God in others, when he sees God in the cross, all of it. That we become fully alive when we're able to see God in every circumstance and see that it is part of his plan for our sanctification and salvation and that of the world. We're not going to see necessarily all the premises, but we know that's the conclusion. If you're suffering today, the conclusion is God wants to make you a saint through that suffering. You may not see all the steps. You may not see how it's integrated. You may not see how it's supposed to bring other people around you, perhaps, in seeing your suffering to have greater trust in God. But the conclusion is your sanctification and salvation and the salvation of the world. That's what it means. We come fully alive when we see that. Jesus is always in the boat. We really have nothing to be terrified of, nothing to be afraid of. Today at this Mass, as we come, as Jesus is asleep, he's not really speaking to us, but he's here. Then as we go on out, he might not continue to speak to us, but he will be here. Let us gain great confidence from the fact that we have the helmsman within, and through St. Irenaeus' intercession, ask him who came to give us life to the full, to help make us fully alive.